This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
In 1973, the New York City Police Department created a hostage negotiation team.
It's not up against the gun. It's up against the man's mind.
When you're defusing a human bomb, it's the same as when you're taking apart a real bomb. If you skip a step, it's going to blow up right in your face.
Talk to Me tells the high-stakes true story of the world's first hostage negotiation team. It changed policing forever. Talk to Me.
You know, I got to tell you, I have so many garbage apps on my phone, I never know where to look for stuff. And recently, I decided to clean house. All the junk and clutter gone. This leaves me with my most cherished apps. You know, the ones that can do it all. Like my Live One app. Music, events, news, podcasts, comedy. Oh, and actual musical stations curated by humans, not those robots hanging out on Bezos's yacht. All this on one tiny little place on my phone. I've become such a fan of the app, we here at the Adam Carolla Show will give you 3 months free. Jump on to liveone.com/Carolla to lock in your deal today. And with inflation at an all-time high, this is a huge savings. liveone.com/Carolla for 3 months plus for free. No ads.
Hey, guys, we have an exciting car cast, another one from this week. We've got our good friend Gordon McCall joining us. He's going to tell us all about the Motorlux event, which was formerly the Jet Center and the Quail, and his background and how he got into all of this stuff during Monterey Car Week. Before we get started, here's Geico.
Do you own, do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
Hey guys, welcome to CarCast. I'm Matt, the moderator, D'Andrea. No Adam Carolla today. Yeah, he's, I don't know what he's doing. He's doing something. He's off filming something, I think. So we're gonna get along without him. We're going to welcome our guest, Gordon McCall, from the Quail events, the Jet Center events, and a number of other things. Yeah, we can get into a few other things. I don't know if you guys have heard about this event, but Grid Life is doing an event at Lime Rock. It's the Circuit Legends at Lime Rock. It is it's going to be kind of a cool event. So unfortunately, it's happening the same time that Monterey Car Week is happening, so we won't be able to get out there out to Lime Rock. But they asked to send a car. They were asking for a car of 1985 or newer. So I kind of walk through the collection over here to figure out what would be a good car. And I think what would be interesting, if you guys are out there and you haven't seen this car yet, we're going to send Paul Newman's 1989 Oldsmobile Cutlass. I believe it's the V6 car with the Pepsi livery on it that he – pretty sure he's got some track time up at Lime Rock with it. So we needed something pre-85, something Newman would be fun, something Lime Rock history would be interesting. So I thought that would be kind of a cool car to send out there. So check it out, Grid Life, their website. I think it's grid.life. I'm not quite sure, but just Google Grid Life. Circuit Legends, and you'll be able to find that. I think you can buy tickets. You can go check that out. It should be a cool event. I wish we could make it, but there's just, especially around this time of year, there gets to be so many different events going on that It's tough to get to them all. That's the website, grid.life. All right. Yeah, that's the website. Yeah, it should be kind of interesting. And then this past weekend, I went over to the Hot Wheels Legends Tour, and you guys have heard about this stuff before. They kind of go around the country, and in some cases around the world. And a bunch of people show up with their cool cars, these cars that they've built, and then they get judged with the hope of the winner would basically get their car made into a Hot Wheels car, which is always kind of cool. Adam and I have judged a few of these. You'll see Leno's on it quite a bit. He usually is part of the finale episode. We did it with him at SEMA a couple years ago as well. We went out to the headquarters hill here in El Segundo and judged it a few times. And during the pandemic stuff, I think we hosted maybe it was the semi-finale leading up to Leno's. So we picked like the top eight cars. Adam and I judged hosted the live stream. But it's a cool event to go to. So they're back here at the Mattel headquarters in El Segundo near LAX. And it pulls a crowd. It's a cool event. There must have been 300 cars, and I think they were expecting upwards of 10,000 people. And there's some really over the top cars. There's some that are little less over the top. There's some wild over the top cars with just kind of things that the idea is like, yeah, we can go build a really cool Mustang, or you can set yourself up on a nice set of wheels and a drop and a nice wrap on your, you know, Ferrari 488 or something. But this is meant to be more kind of creative, home built, really kind of break the mold in creativity. So when you scale it down to a Hot Wheels car, what would you want to play with? What would kids want to play with, or adults? What do you want to play with as a Hot Wheels car? So there's been some pretty cool builds, some completely bespoke. Just somebody just in their garage just starts getting some metal, some tubing, welders, and just do it that way. And some start with an actual car. I forgot which car won this weekend, but yeah, it was good. I think it was Buick, maybe it was like a Riviera. It's like a lowrider Riviera. Good paint, good style, good build. But if you guys heard CarCast earlier this week, we had Gail Banks on, and the Lockjaw car, truck, 66 Chevy truck that they built for SEMA last year. They had it out there at the event and were competing for the Hot Wheels thing. And I kind of feel like Lockjaw would be a really cool toy to play with, but I think as a Hot Wheels, it's too small. You'd want like a larger scale die-cast that has a hood that can open and the bed can raise, so you can really kind of see all of the details and stuff for it. So that might be kind of a more interesting car as a larger scale piece. It's kind of what I was thinking, but anyway, cool event. If you guys get a chance to go to the Hot Wheels, follow Hot Wheels on social media, or check out the Hot Wheels Legends events. They tour around, so see if you can find one in your area. It's worth going to. And if you do get a chance to go to SEMA, because you know SEMA, I think, is doing a different thing. I think they open up the show to the public on Friday now, and they've got the SEMA like car show thing. They take all the cars off the floor and bring it out to like the parking lot out front. They do a big parade. You can see the kind of the cars. But I remember last year there was a bunch of people on Friday walking around with different color pass, purple lanyards, and it was just tickets that were put out to the public. It's kind of a cool thing. I can understand that. The exhibitors there were probably like a little frustrated because SEMA's a trade show, right? So your booth and your presentation is mostly for your retailers, for your dealers. To do a public show, you would often build your booth maybe a little differently, a little bit more product focused, maybe with something that you'd see at a Good Guys event instead of a SEMA event. So the intention is good, opening it up to the public, but I think the execution needs a little bit of work if they're going to be doing that. But I really like the thought of – I'd love to see it be a commerce show at some point. I think they should have trade there, but then eventually have people there and be able to walk around and buy parts or pre-order parts or something like that. Not necessarily like buy parts and take them home with you. They would have to carry too much in there, too much inventory. But just like walk around, talk to the people like we do at SEMA, find out what's new, and then be like, great, I want to order that new supercharger kit, those new autometer gauges or something. I think that would be a pretty interesting type of show. You know, let's see. We got a new Mustang coming out, as we've heard. The Detroit Auto Show this year is coming up in September. I guess we're going to probably see this at the LA Auto Show in November as well. But you know, the current model, the current S550 platform, Mustang. The new one will be the S650. And it'll be the seventh generation Mustang, and yeah, we're gonna get the gas engines one more time before we start getting into hybrids and EVs. I think we touched on this a little bit already. Probably some sort of carryover with the EcoBoost engines. I'm sure a Coyote V8. We'll see. I mean, the rumors are floating around going, hey, it's going to be almost 500 horsepower, but I kind of feel like we're almost there already. I'm not sure what they mean by almost. We've got, I don't know, 450 or 460 in the GT and 480 in the Mach 1. So maybe the GT probably is going to be somewhere around 470 or 480. I think you probably see a carryover, the 10-speed transmission as well, a couple of design changes, a little nipping and tucking here and there. But it should be pretty cool to see. And I'm going to imagine that this platform is going to be open to potentially some sort of hybrid drivetrain at some point, because this platform needs to last a little while, and maybe even an all-wheel drive setup. Not sure if an all-wheel drive setup would be in the high horsepower configuration, or maybe just in some sort of hybrid a configuration, having electric motors and a gas engine motor. Although I think we saw some early, like, patent drawings of a front engine, rear wheel drive Mustang, rear wheel drive from the gas engine, so conventional drive shaft and everything, but then some sort of electric motor mated to half shafts or that would go to the front wheels and, like, through the oil pan, like that kind of area by the, like, where a rack and pinion would be. So that configuration could be kind of interesting as well. But let's do this. Let's talk to Gordon McCall. We'll bring Gordon in and we'll find out what's going on over there.
Well, let me tell you about Snap-on. Today's episode is brought to you by the makers and fixers of Snap-on. Yeah, I would say I'm a fixer. Probably not a maker, maybe a maker of mirth, but a fixer. God, I've used my Snap-on tools and fixed so many cars and so many things around the house. Oh, they just feel better in your hand. Makers and fixers keep the world moving. You find them in factories, repair shops, roads and rails, buildings and maintenance, and everywhere else. Makers and fixers are the backbone of automotive, aviation, agriculture, mining, marine, and military. And I got to tell you, it's so much better to do it yourself and to feel that tool in your hand and know it's the best with Snap-on. I know some makers and fixers. I'm a fixer. I got a guy named Sean. He works with me. He's a maker and a fixer, and we only use Snap-on. Makers and fixers, not just a job. It's a calling. They want to hear from you. Share your story at makersandfixers.com/carcast and check out the makers and fixers on Instagram.
Hey, Gordon. How are you?
Hey, Matt. I'm good. You look awfully lonely in that studio.
I know. They got the studio all built up nice. It's all new cameras and stuff in here. And then Adam got called in to film something a couple days ago. And we're like, we get the email all the time. Like, the schedule changes like every day. We get the email and goes, Chris sent me the email. He goes, Adam's got to film something on Wednesday. I go, does he know Gordon McCall is going to be on the show? And he's like, oh, shit, I forgot. And he goes, let me check. And then I talked to Adam. He's like, we got to film this thing. We can't get out of it. It's something kind of like in real time. And Adam's like, you got to do it. You got to talk to Gordon McCall. We got to find out what's going on. We've got so many questions. So we're gonna get into a few of that. So here we are. You guys listening, you know the name. You've heard us talk about it a million times and had Gordon on many times over the years. So Gordon runs a number of events during Monterey Car Week, outside of Monterey Car Week as well. So if you guys don't know, he's got the Quail, a motorcycle gathering, in addition to, we always just say the Quail, but we always mean the automotive event. And then the Jet Center party. So I have some questions about that, and then I kind of want to step back and get into kind of the beginning of things. I'm seeing all this stuff. The Jet Center event is like, it's happening, but it's got a new name, and there's an auction going on, Broad Arrow, and like, explain to us what's going on with the airport stuff, because it seems to really have changed.
Well, Matt, things have changed, and in a really good way, quite frankly. So my wife Molly and I started that event 30 years ago, actually 31 years ago now. And, you know, I just honestly, McKeel Haggerty is an old friend. I've known McKeel for a long, long time, over 20 years. As you know, Haggerty has been on somewhat of a tear when it comes to the event world. They've acquired Amelia Island. They acquired the Greenwich Concours, the California Melee, lots of car events. And with their whole goal of saving driving, I mean, that's kind of their, obviously they're an insurance company, but that's what their interest is. And, you know, after 30 years, we thought, how long is long enough?
Yeah. You
know,
right.
And so, you know, they came to us, we just started talking about what we could do. And sure enough, they stepped up, and it's theirs now. You know, they've hired us back, so we're still on board. They've changed the name to Motorlux, as you mentioned, and then they added a company they've invested in, the Broad Arrow Auction Group. Years ago, I used to, when I was running the Christie's car department, I used to have a Christie's auction at the Jet Center in conjunction with our Motorworks event. It was the following night, Thursday night, after our traditional Wednesday event. And I'm just happy to see they're doing it again. They're doing it with a lot of cars. I don't know if you've seen the lineup, Matt.
I have, yeah.
It's 94 cars. And, you know, they're carrying the torch forward is what they're doing. You know, it's not like we ran out of gas or got tired of doing it. It was just, it's a long time to do anything. And it's going to be fun to, you know, see it from a different angle now.
Yeah. Well, look, you've been doing it for 31 years, but now you're still doing it. They bought the event from you, and then they just hired you back to continue to run it. So it seems like your daily job doesn't seem to change much, but maybe the stress level of getting that event done is reduced a little, because it's a big thing.
Well, yeah, they're definitely running it. They have a huge team. It's actually been really flattering, because they've said all along, like, really, this was just you guys? Like, how did you get this? It's complicated. But it's in really good hands. They've got a great team on deck, and it's going really well. It's going to be a fun year there. So that's, in a nutshell, that's what's going on with Motorlux at the Monterey Jet Center.
Okay, so Motorlux, that particular event, is that already a sold-out event? Can people still go to that event, and that's still going to be Wednesday night? You can still buy tickets.
Wednesday night? Yep, you can still buy tickets for that event. The way they've kind of taken a page out of our playbook, which is to allow for different blocks of tickets to go out throughout the year, there are tickets available for Motorlux, and you can just catch them at motorlux.com.
And that's still going to be Wednesday night?
Wednesday night. Yep. You know, we picked Wednesday night 30 years ago or 31 years ago, Matt, when people thought we were crazy. It's like Wednesday is crickets. There's nothing going on. Well, being local, kind of knew what was coming. And now Wednesday, for the last, I don't know, 15, 20 years, Wednesday's kind of been in the middle of everything. So it's really a wonderful kickoff opportunity to get people together. And of course, tying the aviation in is key. You know, that makes it, I had no idea when we innovated that concept that we were pioneering that concept of bringing aviation and automotive interest together. But it fits. It works.
So for us, we always saw it as the launch event for the week. We don't get a chance to go up to the prehistorics ahead of time. We just don't. It's tough to take off that much time. You'd have to kind of plan like a long kind of vacation week. So we kind of do like half a week. So we actually go up. We usually actually come in here Wednesday morning for Monterey Car Week, do it one more episode of CarCast for the week, and then drive up to the event. And if we have time, we drop off our stuff at the house, or we just go right to your event, and depending on the time. But that's kind of the start for us on Wednesday, is to go right to the event, and then you know, through Sunday and ended at Pebble and then drive home. So tell us about the auction. Broad Arrow, we know some people that have gone over there and been talking to us about the cars. It really looks fantastic. This is going to be at the same location, but Thursday night, or is it a different location?
Yeah, so exactly, Matt. So it's Thursday night. Wednesday will be utilized as a preview, which is something that we did in the old days with Christie's. But the previews actually start on Tuesday. Free to anybody that wants to come by and preview the cars. It's free up until, I believe, 3 o'clock on Wednesday, when you have to have a ticket to the Motorlux event, which they'll utilize as a preview as well, integrating it. What's really fun about the idea of having an auction there early in the week like that is that you're really catching people when they're fresh.
Yeah.
There's no hangovers yet. There's no sunburn. People still have the checkbook is loaded up.
They're full of energy still, and
they've got energy.
They're not hungover and tired.
Yeah, exactly. And you've seen the lineup. I mean, they've got a wonderful lineup of diverse. I mean, it's major over the top stuff, and it's affordable stuff. So I think they've done a wonderful job putting the selection together. And as you'd mentioned, it's a group of well known specialists in the auction arena that have joined together to form this company, along with Hagerty. And this is their inaugural sale. This is the first one they've done. So here we go.
I think they're doing it right. I think they're going with a bang. They're opening this thing pretty big. Like, they've got a pretty good outreach. So I'm expecting it to do well. And I think being able to do the Wednesday night event, the Jet Center event, as part of the preview, I think is going to make a difference as well. I'm curious to see what if we go back and look at the data on this, how many people show up Wednesday night and then try to get a bidder's pass by time Thursday night rolls around. So if I was Broad Arrow, I'd be walking around with your d'oeuvres tray and a bidder application during that event to just go, you know, hey, here you go, have a cocktail and have an application. I'll get you a bidder pass for tomorrow. You know,
here's a credit application.
That's right. Yeah, let's get you vetted right away. My advice is show up.
Did you get off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Show up to the Jet Center party with your accountant or your lawyer, because you're going to want to, you know, matter of fact, just bring your financials with you so you can get your application.
Well, you know, the demo is right on the money. You know, we've over the years, it's amazing to me, Matt, how many people, how many guests of the event actually commit to either purchasing aircraft or upgrading their aircraft or signing up for a charter company. You know, it's, I've always argued, and not very hard argument, that it's everybody's best customer that shows up there. You know, it's a great group of people, very like-minded, very enthusiastic. We all share the passion for cars and planes and motorcycles and stuff that moves us, you know? Yeah, it's worked. So I anticipate it'll continue to.
All right. So tell us, So the quail. Look, it's the greatest event at Monterey Car Week. It always has been, and we always look forward to it. As you know, you've heard us say this before, of all the cars that Adam races, he literally picks the car to race based on the racing schedule so we can go to the quail. If there's racing during the day on Friday, we're not bringing that car. So you got to bring something else. Yeah. Now, what usually happens is we go out to the track Friday morning. There's either like a practice or like a qualifying session, and then we wheels up and get there to the quail after, a little after it opens. We get there. The timing's right. We get there just in time to catch the last few guys handing out champagne at the main entrance. Because if you're like a half hour too late, those guys are gone. They're totally out of champagne. You got to nail that guy. There's like the guys that are there going, "Hey, welcome to the quail." And they stand there and they give you the champagne. That's the perfect time to show up. You don't want to be the first one. You're like 10 minutes in, 15 minutes in. That's the perfect timing for it.
That's
so
funny.
The quail event is – now, this is still your event. We said you also do the motorcycle event there. So when is the motorcycle event? What time of year is that?
It's in May. And just to be clear, so it's the Peninsula Hotels that owns these events. And they're run by the Peninsula Signature Events office under the direction of Courtney Ferenti. And they do – Matt, they do an amazing job. They're there year-round. It's an office full of very talented people. Both events are very complicated, but I have to say, and I think you would agree, they're run spectacularly well. I'm the car guy and the bike guy. Now, granted, I'm the co-founder of these events. The idea came out of my brain, and I make sure that there's a great diversity of cars to look at. And in May, motorcycles. You know, we have 300 some odd motorcycles. Over 200 cars in August, and diversity has always been the key behind that show. You never know what you're going to see, sure.
So those of you guys that are listening, you're going to hear a little bit of noise in the background. That's because Gordon's at an airport, right? You're at an airport.
I'm at our Monterey Motorsport Park, which I developed a few years ago with some friends, and occasionally we get an airplane or so. Sometimes we're adjacent to the monitor.
No, I can hear it in the headphones occasionally. Just get an airplane or something. But
and I was suggested to wear headphones, but I don't have headphones for this computer.
That's all right. It's fine. So the theme this year for the quail, and I know there's a couple of things that are going on, but I know you kind of love the unexpected and some of the wacky. So there's always a little bit of that you curate. But tell us what we can expect to see at the quail this year.
Sure. Well, as I had mentioned, Matt, a couple hundred cars, 205 actually, 206 I think was our final count. We're allowing for room for people. We picked that up last year after the whole pandemic nightmare of spreading things out and having maybe a little more room between people, although that is an event that's never been accused of being too crowded.
Yeah.
You know, it's a limited capacity event, as you'd mentioned. But this year we're featuring, it's the 100th anniversary of Le Mans. And so virtually every event in the world is honoring 100 years at Le Mans. The way we're doing it, just to be a little different, is we're focusing on Jaguar's involvement in Le Mans, which is pretty iconic between the C-types, the D-types, the GTP car. I mean, there's no shortage of Jaguar history at Le Mans. So we've put together a pretty fun group of Jaguars that, they've all not necessarily run at Le Mans, but they've run in the spirit of Le Mans. So we've got a great category of cars there. It's also the 50th anniversary of BMW's M division. And so, that's been celebrated. I know Goodwood just did a huge celebration. We won't have cars on skewers in front of the mansion. But we've got some amazing M division BMWs coming. And then, to keep it whimsical, which I think is important, we have to make sure there's no starch in the collars out there. It's a real lifestyle event, really centered and geared around the food and beverage experience and hospitality experience that the Peninsula Hotels are so famous for. But we've got a category and we're calling it All Things Mini. And that's just an incredible group of Mini Coopers. And I think we'd all agree, man, they're diverse. Pickup trucks, station wagons, rally cars, I mean, it's and they're pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
They've got a pretty impressive power to weight ratio. I mean, they won Monaco Rally. You know, they're pretty impressive cars. So, and then along with our traditional classes, you know, we've got pre-war sports and racing, sports and racing category, post-war, you know, the usual, you know, cast of characters as far as unique cars will be there as well.
Yeah, it's and then in addition to that, those are the cars that are in the infield, if you will, and kind of showing off. But then some of the manufacturer displays, I guess that's what we're calling them, right? Like some of the manufacturer displays are there. And yeah, you know, Adam and I were talking about how Goodwood, the hill climb, has sort of become the launch event for some new vehicles and prototype vehicles and things you've heard about you haven't seen yet. But instead of just launching it at an auto show under the lights indoors, they're running it up a hill, right? So, but to be able to say the Quail, I think, is up there with that experience. Some of the cars that are brought out there, I know that we're on schedule to be meeting with Gordon Murray. He's going to be out there with his T50 and I think the T33. Not necessarily a guy who does a lot of interviews, but we're going to be able to sit down with him and chat with him a little bit. So post Monterey Car Week, we should be coming home with a Gordon Murray interview that we're pretty excited about. And I can't wait to see that car. But I mean, all of the displays, Koenigsegg and Bentley and Lamborghini and Singer and Pagani, and it's just an incredible just an incredible gathering of cars out there. I think it was last year we chatted a few times with Christian von Koenigsegg. Now we had him on the podcast. He zoomed in with us like you are here, and then we followed up with an in person video. And it's just those are the type of guys you want to be able to have a conversation with. Just so fascinated about their thought process, everything from the engineering and the design, but just where they're thinking a year from now, 10 years from now, just like how they got influenced to get to where they are. It's just some really fascinating stories. So,
I know.
And I think the Quail caters to that. It gives us all the people that can go the ability to, you know, spend a few minutes with a lot of these people without being, as you said, limited by people. So you're not completely overwhelmed with, you know, a publicist going, all right, you're next. You get, you know, 90 seconds to, you know, to take a picture and say hi and ask two questions, get two hits in there. Like you can take a few minutes and talk to a few people, and you can always like wander off and grab yourself some food and wine and realize you're sitting at the table with Dario Franchini or Marino or somebody like that, and be like, "Hey, haven't seen you in a while. That's it's Goodwood or last year or whatever." And it's a good place to connect with them as well.
So true, Matt. You know, to that point, just briefly, you know, I've always coined it as it's a place where you can finish a conversation that you start. You know, and a lot of car shows are not like that. You kind of, you know, you feel like you're running through the day with ADD. You know, you're just kind of ricocheting. Hi, how are you? Good to see you. No, I got to go over here. I got to go there. I got, you know, limited time, blah, blah, blah. Quail's very relaxed, very, you know, on your pace. It's a lot to take in a day. We have 19 unveilings going on this year.
Yeah.
So all those companies that you mentioned, in addition to a few more, and this part always cracks me up, Matt. So you named off all of the exotics. You know, the Pagani and Bugatti and Koenigsegg. And, you know, there's individuals behind all these things. They're all fascinating people. A lot of languages being spoken. And then you've got Texan John Hennessy right in the middle of it.
Yeah, sure.
And he's launching his new version of his supercar, whatever.
Yeah, his Venom F5.
Venom F5, exactly. He's debuting, I believe, the Roadster version of that, or the it's a version of it. At any rate, and they're all people you can talk to, like you said, you know, and they're all happy to talk about. These are all huge thinkers. Oh, my gosh, you know, just huge thinkers. And they're all there, you know, very approachable.
So speaking of that, let's back up a little bit. How do you get into doing this? So before, as you said, 1992, you started this. It's been, I guess, going on 31 years. What kind of led to this? What were you doing before you were creating these amazing events?
So, you know, it's a good question, and I don't get asked it often because I've just been kind of synonymous in the motorcycle and car world my whole life. But I think being on the Monterey Peninsula, growing up on the Monterey Peninsula with Laguna Seca Raceway in our backyard, literally, had a lot to do with it. I think also the times, you know, I look back at the 60s and think, parents wouldn't drop their kid off at a racetrack and tell them to be back by dark. It wouldn't happen, you know? And so I feel I'm somewhat of a product of that era, which is I was fairly free-spirited. I was a responsible kid. I never gave my parents a reason to worry about me, and I never got in trouble. But I explored. You know, I was a big explorer. I spent a lot of time, unattended time, at Laguna Seca, you mm-hmm. know, the Can-Am days, the Trans Am. You know, I was a kid out there taking it all in. All of that, Matt, had an influence on me. It really did carve out who I've ended up being in this crazy car world. I can definitely put my finger on that. I also came from, my mom was amazing. Lost her years ago, but just an amazing gal. Again, this might have been a generational thing. I was probably the best ashtray cleaner in the country because her era was all about cocktail parties.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what adults did back then. They had cocktail parties, not even dinner parties per se. I mean, that happened occasionally, but it wasn't unusual to have 40 people in our house, you know, and I'm emptying ashtrays like crazy and, you know, taking cigarette butts out of the champagne flutes and all the rest of this. I and my wife, Molly, too, she had her mom, who's still with us, very much like that as well. You know, she's 90 something now, and they were entertainers. And so being around people that appreciated the concept of socializing, not social climbing, but socializing, it was important to them. And as kids, we absorbed all that. And so it was kind of a natural thing to find an excuse to bring people together, because that's really what all of this comes down to, is people. You know, we have a shared interest in equipment, machinery, but I think the interest goes way beyond that. You know, we all share a certain DNA in this passion we've got for cars and motorcycles and planes.
You know, I love the story. I love the example. You basically, as a kid, grew up on the track and at cocktail parties, and then you took the two things, right? You took automotive and socializing in this environment. And then it's funny because then you ended up creating the greatest cocktail party in the world, right? The Quail event and the Jet Setter events are like the two best cocktail parties. Now, you had to throw some food in at some point, all right? You had to throw some food in. But that's exactly what it is.
That's so funny. Yeah. So, you know, and it's funny actually to reminisce on that, because, you know, we all so often, and I think I've talked about this with you and Adam in the past, so often we get our interest in cars from a dad or a grandfather or, you know, the person that's out tinkering in the garage, right?
Yeah.
And that wasn't the case with me. You know, I lost my dad when I was 8, so it wasn't my dad pushing me into an interest that he had. Instead, it was a mom that knew I loved things like corgi toys and building models. And she always made sure come birthday or holidays that, you know, there was a set of corgi toys under the Christmas tree or a Ravel model to build. Mm-hmm. And that really, you know, school was something I enjoyed. I was actually pretty good at it, but it wasn't the end result for me. You know, sports and cars were really what I cared about the most. And I knew I had to get good grades in order to pursue both. So it's worked out.
You know, growing up as a kid around the racetrack, being so accessible to Laguna Seca, were there fantasies of being a racing car driver at some point? Maybe as a kid, but what happened there?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That fuse was lit early. I was fascinated. You know, I'd look at race car drivers, the Mark Donahues, the Jim Halls, the Denny Holmes, all these guys that were John Morton, all the guys that were big back then. Mm-hmm. I looked at them and, you know, they were kind of larger than life figures to me. But at the same time, I realized these guys are just people. They're just people.
Yeah.
You know, they're just really good at what they do, but they're people. And so, you know, I started my first car, as you know, was a 510, and I started autocrossing that car right away. You know, I was 16 year old at Salinas Airport, which is where James Dean was heading in his 550 before he crashed. And died, but Salinas had really robust autocrossing. And so I started autocrossing at 16 years old, and that led to getting an SCCA license, and I was solo one-ing. And, you know, with Sears Point and Laguna so close, why not do it, you know?
Yeah.
And now I've gotten back into it, you know, now I'm vintage racing. So, yeah, and it is something, as I think Adam discovered, you know, you can pick it up later in life. It doesn't have to be something. I mean, you look at the world champions, they were all racing when they were 3 years old. You know, they were all in go-karts back then.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can be later in your life and go to a driving school, get the bug, and pick up a vintage car and go out and have some fun. You know, it's pretty cool.
When did you realize that all of the cars that you were seeing at the track as a kid could turn into a business one day? What I mean by that is like the collectability of these cars, because you spent some time as a car specialist as well. We were talking about car auctions. You were at Christie's, I believe Bonhams, Barrett Jackson. You had experience at all of these auction houses many years ago. At some point, you have to realize, hey, as a kid, these Can-Am cars that were getting thrashed and right. In some cases discarded, you're like, these are pretty special now. They were special then, but yeah, for a different reason, right? Because people were winning and there was racing, and now you're kind of surrounded by these people that have acquired these cars for, in many cases, a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, and you know, to that point, and it's a good one, Matt, I actually backed my way into it, quite frankly, okay, as far as that goes. I had a career in the restoration world, in the mechanical world. My formal training was mechanical. I had a Ferrari repair shop in Monterey for years. This was before I got into the auction world. That's actually how I was recruited by Christie's, was through mm-hmm. my restoration shop. They thought, this guy knows a little something about, let's get him. Anyway, that's kind of a long story, but the appreciation that I had for those cars started with the mechanical appreciation. I will never forget seeing the Reynolds aluminum sponsored McLarens that were running at Laguna in the late 60s and early 70s, just being fascinated by the aerodynamics, the wings. I mean, Jim Hall and the mm-hmm. whole Chaparral with the adjustable wing. And I was fascinated from a mechanical angle. Then that evolved into, oh, these things are actually worth something. So, you know, I started buying and fixing up various, you know, cars of interest, and that kind of led the way to wherever it is I've ended up. You know, it's all related. You know, it's funny.
I mean, you've turned it into these incredible events, these incredible gatherings. But you know, we've been talking about Monterey Car Week. You know, for us, we've been talking about it, you know, 10, 12, 13 years. But you know, like you said, you've been involved since, you know, 30 years ago. What was the landscape of the Quail and, you know, Laguna Seca, the Rolex Historics? Like, what did it look like, I don't know, maybe 30 or 20 years ago versus, you know, the way it looks today?
Well, I can tell you what it looked like 50 years ago.
Yeah.
I'm dating myself here, but, you know, obviously, you know, the races out at the Del Monte Forest are what started the whole thing. So it's racers that started this whole car week, technically. That evolved into the Pebble Beach Concours, which is, you know, obviously the granddaddy of them all, or whatever, you know, whatever term you'd like to use for mm-hmm. it. It is an amazing concours. They've evolved as far, I mean, without getting too into the weeds of a description, it's a business now. It's an industry now. And it wasn't back then.
Right.
It was 100% passion driven. Guys like Bill Hara didn't own the cars he owned because of what they were worth or what they were going to be worth. He owned them because he loved them. And he built a museum because he loved the cars. Same can be said for people like J.B. Nethercutt, the people that were kind of leading the way in that world. Vintage racing, when I look back at Steve Earle's first vintage race, back what it was referred to then as the Historics at Laguna Seca, 1974 was the first year. George Dyer showed up with the family GTO behind a Ford station wagon on an open trailer. You know, a GTO was not a $70 million car back then, you know. And
yeah.
I think if there's a difference, I'm not saying passion has gone away. It hasn't. It's still very much driven by that. But value is a word that has come into play these last few years that can't be denied. the auction companies, just the fact that people look at these cars on the track and can't believe that someone's racing a Le Mans winning D-type Jaguar that's, you know, an eight-figure car, that type of thing.
Yeah.
That's changed the most in
yeah.
my mind.
Yeah, okay. But, you know, going from, let's say, passion or an enthusiast thing to a business, I don't want people to get the wrong idea. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I think that was probably a necessity to keep all of this alive. You know, $7,000 cars that become $70 million cars, there has to be a business around it. You just can't be like a really awesome car guy and be around $70 million cars. There's got to be an infrastructure that makes that happen. And I mean, we want to make it fun. We want to make it accessible to as many people as possible that want to experience this. And I think Monterey Car Week, how it's evolved into a number of different events, being at the track and the, you know, Pebble Beach and, you know, Quail and Jet Center and, you know, the exotic shows. And yeah. And, you know, some of the events are limited on their attendance and tickets are hard to get to. Some are expensive, but not everything is, you know, and
you're making a really good point, Matt.
You know, you can drive around town and see some really cool stuff. You can sit out front the Portola Hotel and see an amazing collection of cars from RM. Like, you can just fanboy at the gate there. I would always say, I think Adam would agree, I think he's been saying this for years, is an inexpensive ticket and the time of your lifetime is go to the track. Go to Laguna Seca, you know, whatever it is, $35, $50, whatever, like save for that, go to the track and see all of this, because the track is, everything is basically a pit pass. You can walk around the paddock and see every single car on the track racing and then the people working on them. And I think as long as the whole Monterey Car Week is still accessible to everybody, you know, whether you have know somebody or, you know, limited funds, I think it's that. Now, the business side that's a little tough is, you know, is the all the hotels are booked and it's supply and demand and everything's very expensive, but there's some camping options and there's just some stay out of town, drive in to the track Saturday morning and then leave town Saturday night and don't even stay in town with the hotels and all that. I admit that that's a little tough to financially, that's a tough pill to swallow, but
yeah, that's a really good point, Matt. And I think it boils down to, you just have to plan, you know, if you plan far enough in ahead, you know, I've long believed the barrier of entry for the collectible car world is somewhat of a, I think with the media and all the auction reports and all the rest of it, there's a bit of a misnomer there that it's unattainable. You know, because all you have to do is look at Craigslist and, you know, for not a lot of money, you can buy a car that needs a lot of help. But if you've got interest in learning, teaching yourself, learning from others, et cetera, you can get into it. Motorcycles, even more so. You know, you can buy a 60s Triumph Bonneville. And if you want to and have the, you know, ability, you could restore that bike into something a lot better than what it was when you bought it for, you know, $1,000 or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think to your point, camping, I think, is one of the best kept secrets. Laguna Seca has campsites, and for not a lot of money, you can take a campsite, show up, completely immerse yourself into Monterey Car Week, be there for everything. Like you said, there's a lot of free events. There's a lot going on. If you just go to downtown anywhere, Carmel, Pacific Grove, Monterey, go to downtown, you're going to see some fun stuff. You can do all of that on a shoestring. You know, what you can't really do on a shoestring anymore is vintage race a car.
Yeah.
I just went and bought gas, my 510, $22 a gallon for 112 leaded.
That's an old one. Oh, yeah.
Holy smokes.
Yeah.
That's crazy. But yeah, it's, you know, it's all relative. And if you plan, you know, if you last minute it, you may have to stay in your car. But if you plan, you can do Monterey Car Week on a shoestring. There's no doubt about it. And have a wonderful experience. Yep.
All right. We're going to see you at the track on Saturday or
yes,
any time over the weekend, over time during the month. Are you racing?
I'm not racing. I'm racing in October. The 510 got accepted into the Velocity.
Velocity,
event.
Yes.
So there's a big, There's a big B sedan group running. I think 12 of the 32 cars are 510s. The rest are GTVs and BMWs. So I'm honored to be accepted, and that'll be the debut for me bringing my old race car back out on the track.
That'll be exciting. I think we're going as well. I think we're bringing the different drummer 510 for that same class. So you get to go head-to-head with Adam in that one. But don't worry.
Oh, yeah.
Troy Urmish is going to kick the shit out of everyone out there, so it's fine. But you'll have a great time out there. Gordon, we've got to wrap it up, but thanks so much. I really appreciate it. Motor Lux is the new event. You can get tickets to that. As we said, get tickets to the track as well. I'm sure you'll see Gordon at the track, or you'll see him at the Jet Center event, the Motor Lux events. Definitely say hi. You can't miss him. He's the tallest guy there.
And the quail on.
And the quail. Let's see how the quail. All right, guys. Thanks so much. Until next time, keep the air and the spare in the bag and the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
You know, I got to tell you, I have so many garbage apps on my phone, I never know where to look for stuff. And recently, I decided to clean house. All the junk and clutter gone. This leaves me with my most cherished apps. You know, the ones that can do it all. Like my Live One app. Music, events, news, podcasts, comedy. Oh, and actual musical stations curated by humans, not those robots hanging out on Bezos's yacht. All this on one tiny little place on my phone. I've become such a fan of the app, we here at the Adam Carolla Show will give you 3 months free. Jump on to liveone.com/Carolla to lock in your deal today. And with inflation at an all-time high, this is a huge savings. liveone.com/Carolla for 3 months plus for free. No ads. Do you own? Do you rent your home? Sure you do. And it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling your policies with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing too, because you have so much to do already around your home. Why not make it easy? Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save. It's Geico easy. Visit geico.com today. That's geico.com.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry-directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.